You guys are all here today because God wanted you here. So there's something here today that every person will be able to take away from here and apply it to their life. And I hope you go from here encouraged. Now, I know you will go from here encouraged. I know you will go from here blessed because He is here with us and He only gives good gifts to His children. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 is something I'm sure most of us have heard in one form or another, or one translation or another. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the literal translation of the last phrase actually says, and man became a living being, a living, breathing being. The word breathing is in there. And man became a living, breathing being. Then if you'll let me turn all the way over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4 says, and this is Jesus talking, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we have one more that needs to be read. It's going to be 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. That last verse is also talking about the breath of God, because the word inspired actually means breathed of God. It means God spoke it. It's not just some mystical feeling. It's God breathed. God spoke this. And it is the breath of God Himself. So when we put all these scripture verses together, we were originally created as living, breathing, physical beings. Jesus came along after man fell and after we had the earth cursed and it became a dark place and it became ruled by Satan himself. And it's not a good place. All right, a lot of people say, why? Because this place was forfeited by our great ancestors, Adam and Eve. They basically turned over the rule to Satan, and he gets to run amok and do what he wants and tempt. And that's where the evil comes from that we know about. And all God did when he cursed it was things like, the earth is cursed, so you're going to have to work for your living. You're going to have to actually put in labor where before they were tending a garden and they just had to go pick the things they needed to eat. Now he says, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to work. And there's other parts of it, but all of it comes around. We were breathing. Then Jesus comes along and says, after you died the spiritual death, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Because the words of God themselves are inspired. They are the breath of life to us. The word of God is our very spiritual being's breath. If you're not having a good day, if things are going wrong with you, that's because we must constantly be reading, hearing, thinking about the Word of God. Get it into us. Breathe it deep. Read that Word and think about what it says. Breathe it in, because if you're not taking in the Word of God, you're holding your breath. You're turning blue. And you will faint eventually, and your life will hit the ground, and you'll say, why is everything wrong? Is because we were meant to be breathing beings. And as spiritual beings, we not only, we're living in physical bodies, that's why we breathe air, but as living beings, we need the breath of God within us, so we can continue to grow and have a good life and not pass out and hit the ground and say, why is my life in a shambles? We need to constantly be taking in the Word of God, talking about it. That's how you breathe out. Talk about it, ask questions, read more, think about it, talk about it to other people, ask questions, Breathe more into it. Constantly we need to be taking in the Word of God and expressing it out verbally, asking questions, or expressing it out physically by doing the good deeds. Love, remember this, love is a verb and it's an active verb. It means people choose to do good. It's not a matter of always feeling. Feelings are great. Feelings are fun. But love is this choice to do good consistently. Always do something good to your enemy is what Jesus said. And it didn't say, oh, you're going to feel great about this. It's a choice. You choose to do good to your enemy. Granted, it will confuse him, but that's what we're supposed to be doing in this world. And as the last of that service went on, the last of it said, there is the promise that if you do good to your enemies, there is a reward waiting for you in heaven. Now, the problem with this living and breathing, and people say, well, I've been reading my scripture for years. Many people, many denominations, many pastors have actually stirred in dust. That would be improper teachings, improper ideas. When I say improper, I don't just mean sinful. I mean, they're not grasping it right. They're saying, I think, I had a person come in the other day and ask me, I've got a question. He asked the question. He stated his reason for asking. He says, this is my take on it. And I just so wanted to say, I don't care what your take on it is. What you should say is, what's the Bible's take on it? Because you shouldn't care what I think about it, but what does the Scripture say about it? And then align yourself with the teaching of the Scriptures. And if we put anything in with the Word of God that is not His Word, then we are mixing in allergens, and that's why a lot of us get choked up when we read it, and we're coughing and hacking through these church services or through our life, and we're saying, but I'm reading it. But we're reading it with a wrong mind frame a lot of times. We're looking at things from the wrong standpoint. We have heard things from this world for so long that we believe that those things are absolute truth. And they're not. They sound good. You can buy these posters. Things that say, and this is a world viewpoint, you've got to believe in yourself. Sounds good. You've got to believe in yourself. Step up, believe in yourself. That is the world's viewpoint. That is not God's viewpoint. Let me see if I can find God's viewpoint real quick here. John chapter 14, 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. God didn't say you've got to believe in yourself. Jesus didn't say believe in yourself. Jesus said you believe in God, you believe in me. That's the truth. So when you hear somebody say you've got to believe in yourself, you're a Christian. You've got to believe in God. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to believe what He says. What we do need to know, though, is not the idea we believe in ourselves as much as we need to know who we are. We need to know this. We are children. Our Father is God. We need to know that. Know it. Notice I'm avoiding the word believe. We need to know that when we call upon Jesus and said, I have really messed things up, I ask you to forgive me and I ask that your sacrifice cover the things that I have done wrong. And He says, I will do better than cover. I will wash your sins away, even though they're like scarlet, even though they're red can be. I will make your life, your standing before God the Father, just as white as wool, just as white as can be. But the teaching of the world says, no, there is no God. You need to believe in yourself. The world's teaching is what's causing Christianity to fall. It's causing Christianity to come to a failing place. And actually, they even tell us over and over again, I hear it constantly, I read books, I read the papers, I surf the internet news sites and see what's going on or what is the hidden agenda in these concepts they're putting forth. It's this, Christianity is failing. The world, the culture of the Western civilization is failing and it's turning away. It's turning away from the God and from Jesus Christ, from the God of the church. It's just turning away from it. And they say, I don't care what denomination you are. They are leaving in droves. The church and Western and Christianity is a failing institution and it's going down and it's going down. And a lot of ministers have bought into it and they say, according to my understanding, we are living in the last days. And it says this is going to happen. And since it says this is going to happen, there's nothing that we can do about this. And so they say to their church members, we need to circle those wagons. We need to get in a defensive position. We need to hunker down and just wait till Jesus comes. Sin is everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. Darkness is winning. We're being overcome. We are being overshadowed. But to us who know that we are the children of God, we know otherwise. Because this is what the Word of God says to us, and we need to breathe this in. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says this, and we need to breathe this in and dwell on this continually a lot. Give it a lot of thought. Please, give this a lot of thought. It will be life-changing. The law came in so that transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The law, yeah, the Ten Commandments and all the things that Moses handed down, it was handed down because it said it would increase. What it actually increased was our awareness of what is right and wrong. And God said, I am now telling you the laws of right and wrong, good and evil, and because you now have this knowledge of it, you are now responsible to live according to the law. And he's saying, we know that all sin and come short of the glory of God. We know about our own personal lives. I didn't need that verse to tell me that I had failed and I had came short of the glory of God. But the scripture that I just read, but it says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That idea in the Greek is not, oh, here is sin and grace comes right up to the same place. No, where sin came, grace comes along and abounds way out there. Exorbitant amount of grace, an infinity of grace, an amount that we can't even imagine. And what he's getting at is this. We might live in a dark world, but we are not defeated because we have grace and Jesus is the light of the world and He is with us. We are not being defeated, and when we realize the truth of that, we don't have to circle our wagons. We can stand there and say, I am a child of God. He said that I am a light in this world. I'm not perfect, but I am a light in this world. He said that I will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I, me, will be conformed, and I will become more and more like Jesus Christ as I realize what the Word of God says, and I breathe it in, and I think about it, I push it out. And I want to tell you this also. Our very nature of the low life nature that we have is always scheming against us, but the new life that is indwelling us, that breathes in the Word of God, will never fail. And even if the walls that you see are insurmountable to you, your very nature says they will fall. Breathe it in and say, I will overcome by the grace of God. It is going down. Hasn't happened yet, maybe, but it is going down. I am discouraged because I haven't seen it yet. There's a song called Do It Again. It's a Christian song, and it starts off, God, do it again. I had thought that these walls would already have fallen by now, but I know that you can and will do it again. You've never failed me yet. And we need to stand and breathe in the Word of God and say, I may have stumbled, but I am not defeated. I'm not down. I'm breathing in the Word of God because it says, grace abounds. Where my sins were and what caused me to stumble, that is here, but the grace of God is overcoming. I am breathing it in. It is going to be from now on our mantra, our chant. Grace is abounding in my life. Grace is with me right here, right now. I am right now overcoming because the grace. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we have this grace and we need to be assured of it. One person came in and was talking to me, and he was relating this, and he says, am I understanding the Scriptures right? Even when I make mistakes, when I make mistakes, God's not going to kick me to the curb and walk away and leave me, is He? I said, no! That's right when you need Him, as that one song goes, that's right when I need Him most, is when I'm down and it looks like I'm out, and He's going, I'm here. And that's what I thought it said. And I said, you're right. But the world is always saying this, you can't trust this. This is just an old book, a book of old sayings. This is a book that is breathed by God. As we read it, it will change our life. And they don't want us to believe that. They don't want us to know that. They don't want us to take that in and walk with the assurance in this dark world, knowing that where we go, grace is abounding around us because it's working through us. It's changing us. And as we realize that God hears and answers our prayers, it is abounding to those who are our family, to those who are our friends, to our community, and to our nation. We are not on a losing team. We are, when we understand it properly, on the winning side. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We need to quit circling the wagons and say, yeah, grace is on my side. We may feel discouraged. Grace is on my side. It may seem like we're defeated. Grace is on my side. And we need to keep standing on that, breathing in this Word of God, and walk around this place with, not with arrogance, not with self-aggrandizement, not with rudeness, but with assuredness. We need to go out and say, God is with me. Boy, you're having a terrible time in your life. That's temporary. God is permanent and He's in my life. He is with me. God, Jesus, is with me. Now, I'd like to tack a little bit onto that. Just a few things. One of them is this. We've been talking about prayer a lot here lately. The grace is with us, and it does abound. Even though we're not perfect, we are still coming before the Lord and saying, God, I know I'm not perfect, but based on the fact that Jesus Himself gave me righteousness. He gave it to me as a gift. He washed my sins away and I am now whiter than snow. Based on that, I come to you boldly. That's what it says to do. Boldly before your throne. And I ask that you hear and answer my prayers. This church has been praying, and the other night we prayed. And I ran into the person that we prayed about. They were improved. And I was going, wow. And they had a physical malady that they have been working with for years. And they said, it just stopped. It just quit. All these years, I've had this physical affliction. And it stopped. And I went, just one for God. One for the prayers of the church. God is hearing and answering the prayers of this church. So if you need something prayed for, you let us know, because we will pray for you. Especially if you let us know for the Wednesday night, because we make a very, very harsh point of the only reason, the main reason we come is to pray and intercede for particular prayer request, and for a few things that God laid on our hearts at the very beginning. And we're seeing more and more God coming through and answering our prayers. His grace toward us as a church, as individuals, is abounding over our failures. And if you're in a position where you're struggling, don't give up the fight. The grace of God is abounding over your failure. And He will deliver you. I can't say it's going to be as quickly as this person's physical problem was solved. They still have other issues, but that one had really been bothering them for quite some time. But they have improved in all areas. And I'm just like, wow. So I wanted to report to you and brag on God that He does hear and He is hearing and answering our prayers. And it's because of that super abounding grace. And every one of you who are Christians have the same super abounding grace. The only thing you, and this is a requirement, you've got to know you've got it. And once you know you've got it, you're in. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and I want you to know it's a fact. I want you, this is just, write it down if you have to. You, every Christian, you out there, have the grace of God on you right now. Not a little bit, not a teaspoon, not a bucketful. Oceans of grace is on you right now. I'm not asking you to feel it. I'm not asking you to do anything but become totally aware of, it's mine. I've got it. And when we come to know that, we will see it and experience the love of God and the experience of His grace. Shall we stand and sing?